Turn to your Bibles tonight to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Psalm 146 just has 10 verses. Starts out telling you to praise the Lord, ends by telling you to praise the Lord. Fantastic passage of Scripture here. Let's read. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Which basically he's saying, as long as I've got breath in me, I'm going to praise the Lord. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you tonight, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us from this passage of Scripture. Not only to understand it, Father, but to be able to have it applied in our lives where it will help us when we go through things like people have gone through that we've read about in this particular psalm. Help us, Father, minister these words to the saints, to your glory, to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the magnification of your words, to the help of your dear saints. But we ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, doctrinally, when you see in verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. And when you see, that's in verse 10, when you see in verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. You see there's a particular Jewish application here. Jews are going to really be going through a lot of the things that you see here in verses 7, 8, and 9 during the tribulation. And it's going to be very helpful for them to remember to praise the Lord because he's their hope and he's going to reign forever. But aside from that, there's a great spiritual application in this passage of Scripture. There's some things in this passage that really help us when we find ourselves in the kind of trouble that the psalmist addresses here. He says in verse 7, there are some people that are oppressed, and some that are hungry, and some that are in prison, and some that are blind, and some that are bowed down, and some that are strangers, and some that are fatherless and widow. In verses 8 and 9 as well. Those are bad situations that happen to people. And you know something, in your life and in my life, we're going to face troubles. Anybody in here that's lived any length of time, have you gotten through life and you haven't had any trouble? Anybody here want to get up and get up a testimony and say, man, I've lived all these years, I hadn't had a lick of trouble yet. No takers. Even you that are young already, you've begun to experience some of that. We all have troubles and we all have problems. Things are going to be tough from time to time in our Christian lives. And we think sometimes when we first get saved, well, that's it, man, I got it knocked. But it doesn't turn out like that at all, does it? And that's not because God's not good. It's not because God doesn't care. But life does that. And the things in life come that way. You might find yourself oppressed. You might find yourself hungry or imprisoned or blind or bowed down. You might find yourself orphaned or widowed or like a stranger alone. What are you going to do when you find yourself like that? This psalm tells us how to handle. This is one of those places where you can go and it's all compact right here for you. You don't have to go all over the place looking for the answer to that. The answers are right here in these 10 verses. The first thing you should do when you find yourself in a spot, when you find yourself in trouble, when you find yourself in distress or in a time of necessity, the first thing to do is praise the Lord. That's what he says in verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Well, then up until his last breath, he's going to be praising the Lord. And you know, when we get into a fix, when we get into a trouble, when we get into something that is difficult, when we're in a mess, it's not easy to praise the Lord. It's easy to praise the Lord when everything's going your way. Oh man, you go, all the good things you get in here, man, I want to praise the Lord today, boy. It's all going my way. Easy to do. Not easy to do when you're sad. Not easy to do when you've been afflicted. Not easy to do when something bad has hit you. Hard to praise the Lord when things are heading south. Now, what the Lord does in this psalm is He encourages us to praise the Lord when we're in trouble. And the reason is that praising the Lord magnifies God and minimizes the trouble. Have you ever noticed that in your life? The thing that you give the greatest mental attention to is the thing that seems to be the biggest worry in your life. And sometimes when you're not thinking about that thing that is a problem in your life, it really doesn't seem to be as big as you thought it was yesterday when you were biting your fingernails off about it. Or oftentimes when enough time has passed, you look back on that and you go, man, I thought that was the end of the world when I was going through it. But from this perspective, it doesn't look nearly as life-threatening as it did when I was in it. And so what he says, when you find yourself in that, rather than magnify the problem and oh me and oh my, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And a good way to do that, of course, is to sing the hymns that you sing in here. It keeps your mind on God, and it keeps your mind off the problem. Any of us that have ever stewed over a thing have been able to magnify that thing that's bothering us. And when we can find some way to magnify God, we suddenly at least are not thinking and worrying about that problem. We can enjoy God, we can glorify God despite the problem, despite the distress. You know what we end up doing when we praise the Lord? We become overwhelmed with Him and underwhelmed with the problem. And that's what we need. Now, he in this passage of Scripture, the Lord mentions that He looseth the prisoners in the end of verse 7. Well, you know something? I remember a time when Paul and Silas were called to go to Philippi. They got the Macedonian call, come over and help us. They get to Philippi, they found a group of people, they get to preaching, and there was a problem. There was a problem. Something they did upset the people in the community, and the next thing you know, they are hauled away, they are beaten, they are imprisoned, their feet are fast in the stocks, they are locked up, it is the middle of the night, and I mean, they are licking their wounds, and they're in trouble. What'd they do? They prayed and they sang praises to God. And that ought to be very instructive to us. As it turns out, God did intervene and He did loose them, and through that the Philippian jailer got saved. He doesn't always open the prison doors, but I'll tell you this, the right thing to do in that situation is to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. First and foremost, we've had the opportunity, just being in the ministry, no matter where I am, whether we're here at church and somebody calls and needs to see us, or whether we're just out, you know, at a hospital or somewhere else, when we find somebody overwhelmed by a problem, I'm telling you, it is the only thing that is on their mind. They don't care at that point who's running the country. They don't care whether there was a terrorist attack somewhere else in the world. They don't care. Their problem is the biggest deal in their life, and they're overwhelmed by it. God said, don't let yourself get in that situation. Praise God. That's the first thing. Second thing, trust God. Trust God and not men. Psalm 146, look at verses 3 and 4. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is how much help? No help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. That guy woke up that morning, had all these great ideas and plans. God took his breath that afternoon. Boom, he's in the grave, and nobody cares about the plans that he had anymore. And he can't execute on them anymore. He's done. So God said, remember, when you're dealing with men, their very breath, our breath, comes to us by God. When he takes our breath, Psalm 104 says, we die. So he said, don't trust men. Don't trust them. Trust God. Verse 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Trust God, not men. Now, you know something? When we get in trouble, You know what we do? We have a tendency to run to other people for help as soon as we need the help. It's the first thing we do. It's like an emergency situation. We either call the banker, we call the doctor, we call the lawyer, we call the neighbor, somebody, we get a man or somebody else involved. Men are limited in what they can do. Keep your finger where you are. This passage talks about some people that are dealing with some illnesses like bowed down and blind. Keep your finger here and turn with me to Luke chapter 8. We're going to come right back to the passage, Luke chapter 8. All right, here's a woman in verse 43, and she had a problem, just like some of us do. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. How much money did she spend on the doctors? Everything she had. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. She finally got to Jesus Christ, and when she did, he took care of the problem. And even he at the time wasn't aware that she was back there touching the hem of his garment, but when she did and her faith was in him, she was healed. And, you know, that's very important for us to remember. We'll put it in perspective for you in just a minute, but turn with me to Psalm 118 before we, you know, we don't want you to fire your doctor right yet, okay? I'm going to put it in perspective for you. But God wants us to understand something about men, about ourselves, and about the people we look to help us. Psalm 118. Look at verse 8 and look at verse 9. It is better, Psalm 118, 8 and 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. There are a lot of people, even Christians today, who say, well, we're very relieved that Donald Trump is now the president of the United States. He's going to be able to fix some of these problems now. Well, certainly, in the position that he's in, he has the executive power to direct certain things and even to emphasize certain things that might come into law and to take certain things that are out of law. But may I tell you something? The Lord said, you better not trust that man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. As Christians, we should always say, I'm trusting God. That's who I'm looking to for my life, my country, for heaven and everything else. Why is that? Because men are limited in what they can do for you. Men are limited in what they can do for you. So when you trust in the Lord, listen very carefully. When you trust in the Lord, He can direct you in His will to the people He will use to help you. It's not that people can't help you. It's that the people He wants to have in your life are the ones who can help you, and the ones that He doesn't want you to have in your life, they couldn't help you anyway. And the ones who can help you that He puts in your life are able to help you because of what He's doing through them for your benefit. That's the thing to remember. Sometimes when you have a medical need, for instance, this woman did, the Lord will direct you to a physician who can improve or restore your health. There are doctors who are well-trained, spend lots of time in school, and understand things. We can pray for a doctor to have wisdom, and the doctor can run certain tests, and God can give certain direction, and they can sometimes find out what's wrong with you. As you heard in the testimony tonight, sometimes they can't find out what's wrong with you. And when you go, listen, when you are directed by the Lord to a certain physician for a certain procedure, and you're trusting God, do you know you can go through that procedure a whole lot better because you're trusting God to use the hands of that person to help you? And when it works out, you know who you can thank the doctor and pay him handsomely, and you can praise God because He's the one that used this person to be a help to you. We never want to lose sight of that. You know, even in 1 Peter chapter 3, where women are to be in subjection to their own husbands, the Bible tells us in verse 5, they trusted in God. And a woman is trusting God to lead her through her husband. Because many times husbands are not trustworthy We try to be, should be. God is always trustworthy. He said, you trust me, I'll take care of that man. And that passage even shows you when the guy gets without the word, God can turn him around. So sometimes the Lord will direct you to a physician. Give him wisdom. He can improve or restore your health. Sometimes he will strengthen you by his grace and he won't give you any medical relief. Paul went to the Lord in prayer for the removal of that thorn in the flesh. The Lord said, I'm not going to take it out. My grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul learned through that, he says, I take pleasure in my infirmities. When I am weak, then I am strong. And he found something greater in the grace of God than he did in healing. And sometimes that's what God wants to do. You have to trust God for that. We have to trust God for that. Sometimes he'll show you a way to nourish yourself, or he'll show you a way to change your life that will straighten out a problem in your life. Sometimes you think, I got this problem, I got to go to the doctor, he's going to give me a pill to fix this, and that's not where the problem lies. The problem lies with you, and you are doing things to yourself that are damaging you, and only God is the one usually tough enough to be able to get in your face and show you you're the problem. And so, you want to trust the Lord. Now, is he trustworthy? Well, talk about some folks in here that are hungry in prison and all that other kind. He's the one that fed the Jews in the wilderness for 40 years with manna. And how many people were in there? Over 600,000 men besides their wives and children. That's a whole lot of mouths to feed. He did it every single day, twice on Saturday, for 40 years. I believe if your cupboard gets a little bare, he could step in and provide something for you. He's the one who fed 5,000 miraculously with a boy's sack lunch. He's the one who fed the widow in Elijah's day. How did he do that? Elijah said, feed me first. She did. All she had was enough meal for one cake and two little sticks. And they ate and they ate and they ate till the rain came. Out of that same barrel and out of that same cruse of oil. Let me tell you something. If you need help, you turn to God first. And if there's a man involved, you let God lead for that human agent that he will choose to use. And I know he does. You know, he says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. He uses people as his agents oftentimes to accomplish the things that he wants, but he wants you and I to turn to him first and foremost. So praise him, first thing. Second thing, trust him and follow his leadership there. All right? Listen, if he took care of all these people, he'll take care of you. Are you not his child? Yeah, he'll take care of you. He sure will. All right, here's the third thing you do. Hope in the Lord. Psalm 146, look at verses 5 and the first part of verse 6. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Watch it. Whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Now, if God made all this stuff around here, the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that therein is, what kind of power does he have? I mean, he put it all here. You and I are here. We breathe by his provision of breath. Listen, if you can hope in anybody, you can hope in God. The Lord's the only one, and this is why we need to hope in him. The Lord is the only one who knows what he wants to accomplish in you and in your present circumstances. I was just telling Randy yesterday, he said, I really thank God for his goodness. There are some things that I have done in the last 25 years of being in the ministry that were just bonehead, just wrong. Okay? I know y'all guys have never made a mistake, so it's probably coming as a real shock to you that I've ever made one, but we all make it. There are people that were involved in all these kind of things, and you know something? By turning to the Lord, praising the Lord, trusting in God. God has worked through all of these things, and in his goodness, in his miraculous way, he took something that was bad and made it good. And there's only one person in the universe I know that can do that and who has a desire to do that, and it's God. And so he says, hope, whose hope is in the Lord is God. So hope in the Lord. Listen, he can look at your current situation and he thinks, you know what? Yeah, hope in me. I can do this first of all to address the problem. I may not fix it the way you want, but I can do this to address the problem and actually make you a better person for it and take care of this person in the process, and that guy over here will get saved. And man, hope in the Lord. Why do you have to hope in the Lord? Because you don't know how the thing you're going through is going to turn out. John the Baptist wound up in prison. James wound up in prison. Wound up in prison. New language. Silly wabbit. Peter wound up in prison. I have to be careful. What happened to John the Baptist? He got beheaded. What happened to James? Herod killed him. What happened to Peter? He got out. The angel of the Lord came in and released him and told him to go back and start preaching again. There's not a man on earth that can help. He could have helped any one of those three people. It would have been a vain thing to call the senator. Right? To get the best lawyer in the country. Would have been a vain thing. God's purpose wasn't in it. You have to hope in the Lord. Each one of these men had to keep his hope in God. John the Baptist didn't. He got thrown in prison after preaching, forerunner of Jesus Christ. And then he sent a message out by two of his disciples. Are you the one we're looking for, or are we looking for another? After being the forerunner, after seeing the Holy Ghost come down in the form of a dove. Are you the man? And the Lord did some miracles in front of those two disciples, and he said, now go back and tell John what you've seen. Raised the dead, healed, cleansed the lepers, healed the sick, made the blind to see, caused the deaf to hear, and blessed is he, whosoever is not offended in me. You have to hope in the Lord. You see, what happens sometimes is that these things that come into your life beat you down so much until you lose your hope in God and get discouraged. That's exactly where the devil wants you to go. You cannot lose your hope in God. You can't. No matter how the thing is going to turn out, you cannot anticipate how your situation is going to turn out. Here are two men, preachers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One serving as a missionary in Australia, another serving as a missionary in Bolivia. One gets sick with cancer and prays and prays and prays. The other one gets sick with cancer, prays and prays and prays. Both men have to come off the field. One of them winds up in Washington, one of them winds up in Arkansas. They pray and they pray and they pray. The missionary who is now in Arkansas, his wife dies. The missionary who is now pastoring a church, a small church in Washington, his wife is cancer-free. What do you make of that? There's only one person in the universe who knows that situation. Is God good for the one because she got healed and bad to the other because she didn't? Should the one whose wife died lose his hope in the Lord, and the one whose wife survived it now have more hope in the Lord than he ever did before? You see, with God, it's not relative to the outcome. It's not relative to the circumstances. It's not relative to the situation. You hope in God in either way. And you can't lose your hope in the Lord. The only way for each family who has been affected by this to come through this, look in verse 5. The only way for each family to come through this, look in verse 5, happy is by keeping their hope in the Lord. One could be bitter right now because he's a widower. But if he keeps his hope in the Lord, he goes through this. He may have to wait till eternity to find out how Romans 8:28 played out in his life, but he cannot lose his hope in God. You can't. You can't. You praise the Lord, you trust God, you hope in the Lord. Because it's the only way for you to stay happy and not get bitter. Then what do? End of verse 6. Which keepeth truth forever. The Bible says God keepeth truth forever. Every one of thy, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever, the Bible says. Randy preached the other day and he said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. John 17:17. All right? You got to look to the words of God. That's what you do when you find yourself in trouble. Get more in this book than you were before. And look in here. Look to the words of God. Why? Come to the Bible with a listening ear. Come to the Bible with a believing heart. And God will direct you in His words. Psalm 119 verse 133 says, order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And you don't know how to go. When you find yourself in trouble, when you find yourself facing a problem, when you find yourself, you know, it's a problem with the child, it's a problem with your health, it's a problem with your marriage, it's a hot problem with your job, it's a problem with your finances, it's a problem with your emotions, it's a problem with something in your life, somebody else in your life that's really got you, you have to get in the Bible. This is the place. But you know what happens? So often people get so distressed, so overwhelmed by the problem, they're reading, but their eyes are just glancing over the words. Their words aren't going any more than the words of a newspaper go in. You read it and you can't even remember what you read. What you say, how do I solve that problem? Go back to square one. Praise the Lord until He's big and the problem's little. Trust God, hope in the Lord, and get in here and read the Word. Why? Because God will show you in the Bible what He wants you to know about what you're going through. He will show you. He doesn't play hide and seek with you. You don't know if He's. You don't know if there's chastisement involved in it. You don't know if there's strengthening involved in it. You don't know if this is for the sake of somebody else. Suffering in your life can be. There could be a lot of reasons for it. It could be for God's glory. It could be for the benefit of somebody else. It could be to make you stronger. It could be to chasten you. You don't know what the angle is. You get in this Bible here and God will talk to you. He'll talk to you and He'll show you what's going on. Listen, Paul and them were praying on that ship in Acts chapter 27. It was going to go down and everybody was despairing of life. Even Luke said so. And then the angel of the Lord showed up. It's like this book will show up for you. The angel of the Lord showed up and he said, Paul, don't worry about it. The ship is going to be destroyed. Everything in the ship is going to be lost. But nobody on this ship is, every life is going to be spared as long as everybody stays on board. So some men tried to get off the ship. They would have died in that rowboat. And so they said, you need to stay on board. And they let that lifeboat go away. And then the thing got all smashed up. But everybody got to shore. And a bunch of those guys got saved. And Paul knew what to do. He was even so happy about the direction that he received from the Lord, he said to all the men on board, cheer up. Cheer up. I've been starving to death for 2 weeks and you're telling me to be happy? Well, he could be happy because he knew how the thing was going to go now. Listen, there is nothing like going through a problem in your life, getting direction from the Word of God and figuring out from God what's going on in your life, and like, I get it. I get it. Thank you, Lord. I can go through this. And that's what you need. You need direction from the Word of God, and you need where iniquity won't have any dominion over you. All right, what else do you do? Look at verses 8 and 9. Well, he says in verse 7, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. Verse 8, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, raises them that are bowed down. The Lord, watch it, loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. So in verse 8 he says, I love the righteous. And in verse 9 he says, turn the way of the wicked upside down. Here's the next thing to do then. Stay right with God. Stay right with God. You see, that verse says, order my steps, Psalm 119:133 says, order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You know what we do? I say we. You know what we do as people when we get into a real difficult situations? We oftentimes turn to sin. We start watching more TV than we used to watch. Some people they'll go take a drink. And they would have never thought about doing that before, but they don't know what else to do. They skip church. They quit praying. Come on, honey, let's just go to the movies. And you might have had a conviction about that before, said, I don't want to do that. And now you're like, I got to get my mind off of this. I got to go do something. And suddenly you drop all these convictions that you had about things, and you quit separating yourself from all the things that you used to do in the world, and you start getting into trouble. And that's what people have a tendency to do. They have a tendency to run to sin for solace because they're feeling alone, and comfort because there's a lot of anxiety associated with the problem you're in, or for an escape to get your mind off of it. And you have to stay in a right relationship with God. Sometimes a person will go through a great difficulty like this, and then they'll go get into a relationship. And because they're looking for some kind of a comfort. And the Bible says, listen, the Lord loveth whom? The righteous. He said, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Don't go that way. Don't go towards sin. Don't run to sin. Why? Because God's going to turn the way of the wicked upside down. I've been in the ministry long enough that I have seen many people destroyed by turning away from the Lord at precisely the time they needed to turn to the Lord. I've watched it over and over again. And they tear up their marriages, and they tear up their jobs, and they tear up their lives because they get in such a bad situation. Oh my God, I don't know what to do. And they think, this is what I need to do. Have you ever made... No, I don't even want to ask you that question. You make irrational, stupid decisions when you find yourself trying to hurry up and relieve the problem that has just been presented to you. Some of you are nodding because you have personal experience with just such a thing. And the Lord said, I don't want you to do that. He said, I want you to stay right with me. In other words, here's what I'm saying, or here's what He's saying. Here's righteousness, this little place that we have right here on the pulpit. Imagine this is righteousness. All this stuff out here, the wicked things that you could do. I'll start running with the wrong company. I'll get hooked up with this crowd, blah, blah, blah. Lord says, stay right here. God, love the righteous. Stay right here. Listen, take all of these options off the table. They may come to mind, take them off the table. They won't do any good for you. It'll just flip your life completely upside down. Don't go there. What else? Last thing, verse 10. Psalm 146, verse 10. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. What do? Let God rule. Let God rule. See, the Bible shows us that God is going to reign forever in Zion. Jesus Christ is coming back. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. He's going to rule this entire world and universe from that throne, and of His kingdom and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David forever. Okay, that's coming. I wish it had already started. I'm ready. All right? That same King of Kings and Lord of Lords is Lord of your life. He's supposed to be ruling in your life right now. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's supposed to be on the throne of your life. So listen, let God be God. I've told people before, whenever they've gotten into a tangle and they had to get a lawyer involved in it. And you know what I've told them whenever they've had to do that? I say, you know what? Let the lawyer practice the law. You go on about living. You pray. You stay close to God. Let them be the lawyer. You be the client. Why? Because everybody wants to suddenly become a lawyer and go feed them all the information and learn all the stuff and go. And every day they're coming back saying, yeah, now another thing we learned, section 108.35B of the... You can't pass the bar with that knowledge. It's an amazing thing. You have a medical problem and you come back and you say, oh, I've studied everything and I've done... You act like you know more than the doctor now who's trying to treat you. Let God be God. Let God be God. Don't you go in there and try to figure God out, and now you're going to try to be God. Let Him work out the circumstances in your life His way. Take your hands off the reins. Quit trying to dictate to God. It's got to turn out this way, God. This way it's got to be. Now I'm praying right now, you know, she'll do this and he'll do that. And then stop that. Stop it. That's not for you. That's for him. He is the king. He's the one that reigns. Let him figure it out. He knows what he's doing. Let him do what he needs to do. Stay out of his way. You're making it harder. You're dragging it out. I'm serious. He says, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Why do you need to wait until later for the Lord of your life to start ruling your life? People say, well, if I don't do this, it isn't going to work out my way. That's the problem. God isn't going to work it out your way. You're not smart enough to figure out. You know what? You were the one that got you into this mess, and you really don't know how to get yourself out of it. So back out. Back out. Let him drive the car. Okay, I'll get in the back seat. No, that's not far enough for you. You'll look in the rearview mirror and tell him what to do. Get in the trunk and lock it. Let him run it. He knows what he's doing. Now, those, I tell you what, those things just lay right out there for us. And they really are true. And they really are applicable. And they really do help us. If you're not in trouble today, okay, well, remember these things, because you will be. And if you are in trouble today, you know just where you've gotten out of line with this. Get back into line with what he said. And how do you finish the thing up? The way he finished it in verse 10. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just keep praising the Lord. It'll be all right. Somebody says, how's it going? You'd be like that woman that whose son died and she had to go get the prophet. She said, it's well. It's well. You say, really? You say, yeah. When peace like a river attendeth my way. I said, wow, how can you sing in a time like this? Because Bible told me, praise the Lord. And it'll work. Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity to see some things from the Bible that be an encouragement to us. And I ask you, Lord, to help us to be faithful to the words we've heard for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.